Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday. What month is this now? July 10th? Wow. July 10th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Man, it's going great. It's going to be a great week, and thanks for having me.
It is going to be a great week, and I'm glad you're here. Dave Hamilton, I'm also glad that you are here. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. It's also great that that iMazing is our sponsor today. We'll talk about them in a bit. But first, I think we need to talk about the information flow out of Apple. And okay, here's where I'm going with this. So, we get information through all different kinds of sources before a product is actually announced. And one of the things that we heard just recently comes from John Gruber during Fireball, and he said that this fall's iPhones will have wireless charging support, and specifically said inductive charging, and then said that it's pretty likely that the accessory that will enable this, the charging base that you would set your iPhone on, won't be available at launch. That will be coming later when the iOS 11.1 update comes out. And so I'm seeing this, and my first thought is, okay, so now we have our confirmation that wireless charging is in the new iPhone, even though it hasn't come from Apple. And this is taking me down the path of is Gruber an official and tongue in cheek official information channel for Apple?
Huh. Well. Huh. Interesting. This came by a tweet. Right, where Gruber linked to ATP Tipster, which is some Twitter account, and I don't know who's behind it, that sends tips to the Accidental Tech Podcast. Mm-hmm. Right, and they've had good, they've been pretty good with their stuff. So he's linking that in, and I think Gruber's made it pretty clear that he's not that he doesn't want to be seen as the channel for Apple. But I don't think this one is. I think he has really good sources outside of Apple PR.
Yes, he does.
He also has good contacts within Apple PR. But he has really good sources outside of Apple PR. And this one feels like it comes from, what he likes to call the rank and file. Okay. I think my guess is this is the kind of information that, got handed around over drinks in the corner of a party somewhere at WWDC.
All right. And Apple.
Why is it just coming out now?
Well, that's a good question. Why is it just
It was in response to this ATP Tipster comment. Enough. Right? I mean, it was a reply to that, which is why it really, to me, that's the biggest reason it doesn't feel like a controlled leak, at all. Whether Gruber has participated in controlled leaks in the past or not, it wouldn't surprise me if he has, but I don't look at everything that comes from him and say, aha, controlled leak. There are other places where that actually is the case. But from him, no.
So to answer Jeff's question, is Mr. Gruber an official Apple source? No, except for when he is.
Except for when he is. Yeah, we have no confirmation that's ever happened. But again, it wouldn't surprise me that it has.
Yeah.
But this doesn't feel like it.
Clearly trust him.
Clearly.
Let's put it that
two
way.
Of their top executives on stage with the guy.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Multiple times. He would be a source that Apple would assuredly consider and probably has considered on any numerous on any number of occasions.
Yeah.
If they wanted to clear something up or get a story out there.
Sure. Of course.
Because, you know, and if you haven't read John Martellaro's piece on how Apple uses and handles and does controlled leaks, do, because it's a great read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes.
All right. So, I think it, because these kinds of things happen, right? You get into a corner and you start talking with people and it's much easier for that trust to be developed and just sort of things just come out loosely. It's not that somebody, you know, when these kinds of things come to me, and I had actually several conversations at WWDC. I think we've talked about some of those topics on the show here, where, you know, the information just sort of comes out, especially if you get, you know, wind up in a three-way conversation when two of the people are Apple engineers. There's, you know, everybody's happy, everybody's loose, it's a party. If you can participate in that conversation at some technical level, suddenly they forget that you are press. Right. I mean, this is how it works. And so it's really
how people work.
Right. And it's not even it. Like when I find myself in these conversations, I'm not like working to weasel my way in. I'm enjoying, like they are, having a technical conversation with people that can have this technical conversation, because that's not always the case. Right. It's actually really depending on where you like what you do and the people that you socialize with, it's not often that you get to have a beer in one hand and someone across from you where you can really just kind of loosen up and have a high level conversation. It happens at the office, but you're not, you know, generally that relaxed at the office. So it really is, you know, three or more people having this conversation, and then two of them get talking because they have this shared thing, and suddenly, you know, little tidbits tend to just sort of float in the air. And if you don't make a big deal out of the fact that little tidbits have floated in the air and you just keep going with the conversation, then everybody stays relaxed and it's good. And that, my guess, is where this information came from. And he just knew it. And there was no reason to like jump out and say, hey, but when it comes up and you can be that position of potential authority offering clarification, there you are.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. And I've always said that's the reason to go, especially to go to WWDC, not only for those, you know, sort of very, very unofficial and probably, you know, in violation of someone's employment agreement conversations, but even just attending the sessions or watching the videos of the sessions, you can learn a ton about how Apple works behind the scenes, and you can really read the tea leaves and see where they're going and specifically where they're not going. That's far clearer, in those kinds of things. And it can really help you kind of keep your BS meter going. So anyway, I think this is one of those things.
All right. So Brian, I like your take on this. He speaks for Apple when he's speaking for Apple, and the rest of the time, it's just whatever else he gets.
Yeah. All and right. he's never speaking for Apple. He's never,
channeling.
Let's give John some credit here. He may possibly have said things that Apple wanted him to say, either directly or indirectly. That is a possibility, but there's a far cry between that and John speaking for Apple.
Yeah. That was unfair the way I said that. Yeah. So, okay. Well, I am totally fine going with that. All right. And hey, on that note, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is iMazing. And if you're not using iMazing yet, then my question is why? Because this is an amazingly useful tool if you have an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod Touch, because this gives you the backup tools that you wish Apple had included with, you know, with your iPhone. So you have a way to totally take control over the backups of your iOS devices right to your Mac or your Windows computer, whichever way you roll. And it gives you a way to just like really dive in there and get at the data that you want. So what I mean by that is, let's say that you have a chat conversation that you want to make sure you never lose for whatever reason. You know, like it's that special someone or that special business meeting or whatever it is. You can go and get a copy of that from your iOS device and just save it locally, and you've just got it. So it's a great tool for backing up all your stuff. It's a great tool for getting at selectively getting an information that on your device that Apple otherwise doesn't let you do. It's a wonderfully handy tool. So here's what you guys can do. You can head over to the iMazing website, and that's iMazing.com, iMazing.com/TDO. And when you're there, you can download the current version, which, by the way, does support iOS 11, you know, in case you want to play with the developer public beta. And so you can try it all out. And then when you realize that this is as good as I say it is, by the way, it is, then you can get 20% off. And so you just go back to that same link, iMazing.com/TDO, and that discount, it works for the single user, the family user pack, and then the multi-computer pack as well. So it's a great way to save some money on a wonderfully useful tool. And I'm so glad that iMazing is our sponsor this week. So thank you, iMazing. Head over to their website, amazing.com/TDO, and get 20% off your copy. All right. So Brian, you wrote a piece last week, like at the end of the week, and this was about a cruise that's coming up. It's a 24-day luxury cruise up to Antarctica, and this special cruise, Steve Wozniak, one of Apple's co-founders, is going to be speaking on the cruise. And you know, when you wrote the piece, I thought, oh, this is really kind of cool. You know, this really swanky cruise. You get to hear Steve Wozniak speak. And one of the comments that you got to the piece that you wrote, excuse me, kind of caught me off guard, and yet it shouldn't have. And so in part, the comment said, come on, a guy who was maybe relevant over 40 years ago and has been spouting ridiculousness ever since. If cruises are your thing, go for it. But Steve Wozniak, really? And my thought was, why do people hate on Woz like this so often?
Yeah, we've seen this for the last, in particular, I would say the last, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years. It's you know, if Woz dares criticize Apple or even has the hint of a criticism of Apple, or sometimes even just when Woz is, you know, merely having the temerity to exist and do something, like in this case, the Woz haters come out, and I don't understand that. Like, Woz is awesome. Let he among us who has done 0.001% as much in his or her life as Woz be the first to cast the first stone, however that old biblical phrase works. I mean, his technical accomplishments are extraordinary, and he's extraordinarily nice. And I personally think he is a very compelling speaker.
Mm-hmm. I will say this about him. It's funny that you said he's a compelling speaker. He is when he's alone. When I have seen him on stage in panel type discussions, he comes across as being very egotistical. And I've seen this a few times. Now, I can't speak for all the times, but all the times that I've seen him in a panel, he's Mr. Egotistical Woz. When he's just Woz on stage, I mean, he's still talking about himself, so I mean, I suppose you could make the same argument. But there's no one-upmanship or anything like that. There's no aloofness, and I've seen that, but only ever in panel discussions. Every other time I've actually been on podcasts with the guy. I've met him in person several times, you know, very affable, very humble, but also it's not false humility. I mean, he knows what he's capable of. He's very proud of that, which he has accomplished.
But he's okay with it.
But he's totally okay with it.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, he doesn't, he normally doesn't need, it's interesting. I've never noticed that. I've never noticed that quality that you just targeted.
And it's been a while since I've, you know, experienced him on a panel. So maybe I'm, you know, who knows? Yeah. Anyway,
you know, Dave, my experience mirrors yours. I've been on podcasts with him and we had a great time. I've met him in person and he was just a really, really genuinely nice guy. I've seen him speak where he's like in an interview situation where it's him and an interviewer. I like to refer to them as a wrangler for him on stage.
Yeah. Cause he does tend to go all over the place.
He does go all over the place. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and they'll ask him a question and he'll start talking and he'll go off on this fascinating discussion about something. And eventually he comes back and says, what was the question?
Yeah.
And then off he goes again.
But it's to me, it's entertaining. I have nothing but respect for him. And even when he's wrong, I respect the process he appears to have gone through, because he's usually explaining that process, you know. And I just don't get the mountains of abuse he gets on a site like ours.
Yeah.
Right. A site like ours of Apple fans. I mean, Apple owes a lot to Steve Wozniak. For instance, its existence.
Yeah, I mean, there is Apple would not exist without both of those Steves.
Yes, absolutely.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, neither one of them could have done it on their own, and Woz would not have sought out Jobs or a Jobs analog, and you can argue amongst yourselves whether or not that could exist. But Jobs would not have sought out Woz would not have sought out a Jobs analog. Jobs was continuing to seek out that, you know, he was on the lookout. I don't know if seeking is the right term, but he was certainly aware of seeing this, you know, power.
He was looking for his opportunity to make a dent in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then he saw what Woz was doing. And he ran with it.
And he ran with it. Yeah, exactly. So it's possible. You could sit here and argue. I could sit here and argue that Jobs would still have put that dent in the world without Woz.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been Apple.
And Woz would not have put that dent in the world without Jobs.
Well, I'm glad that they found each other and did make their dent, because I kind of like the dent they've made.
No, it's a good thing. Right. But I mean, I'm just trying to peer into the minds of people who have a problem with Woz. Maybe some of that potential truth there is what leads them to say, well, yeah, but without Jobs, he'd be nothing. I mean, and that's
it's true.
We might not be talking about him. I think he would still have had great accomplishments throughout his career at HP, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
But, you know,
we wouldn't know about him.
We wouldn't know about him.
Probably not.
He'd probably still be using some of the tech that he created.
Right.
Oh, sure. Sort of impossible for him to have been doing what he was doing and it not make some impact. But
it might have been that fourth time that he went to HP and said, I've got this computer. Then the HP might have said, huh?
Yeah. No, it would still be in like calculators and stuff, man. It'd be fine.
I know.
All right. So,
but yeah, so maybe that's where that comes from. But
have you noticed
that? Shut up, you're wrong.
It's not just me and Jeff, right? You've seen it too, haven't you?
I've seen it too. Yeah. Yeah. No, Woz gets hate and I don't get it.
All right, so I'm going to toss another hypothesis out before we wrap up. Okay. Is it possible that a lot of people don't follow or aren't aware of all the things that he was doing parallel to Apple and then after Apple, and their perception is this is a has-been who's just trying to get by on the fame he had when he was at Apple?
Yeah, he's happy not being an engineer, an active engineer anymore in that sense. And maybe those are the wrong words to use, but yeah, I can see that he's not creating the next great thing. And I feel like, and I may be putting words in the poor guy's mouth, but I feel like I've heard him say something to the effect of, my mind's not as sharp as it used to be. Like, I can't do that anymore. And that's okay. You know, like Nicholson doesn't act anymore. Doesn't take anything away from the great movies he made.
All right.
But maybe that's what people are like, dude, you're resting on your laurels. Okay, yeah, he is. In that sense, maybe he's retired. Pretty darn good laurels, though, to Brian's point earlier. You want to match up against those anytime. I'm sure any of us would happily be the nonpartisan judge, if you like.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, and I would love to find the person that has, you know, better street cred than that. That would be great. And maybe that person exists. Maybe we already know about them and we're just, you know.
And we just don't realize yet.
But that person's is not lobbing insults. It was.
Exactly. That's not the person lobbing the insults.
Right. What have you done? That's my question usually when someone starts bagging on Woz is like, what exactly have you done?
Or are they bagging on them in comparison to someone else? Like, that's okay. Like, that's, you know, I haven't done anything, but I can sit here and look at these two people and I'll tell you that. But I haven't heard that. But that's what we're trying to say here is we're projecting.
One more thing about when he speaks, a lot of times when Woz is speaking, he is simply relaying stories from Apple's past or technology's past or Silicon Valley's past. That kind of perspective is always valuable.
Yeah.
Right. Whether or not you think that it was as it has been, he was there for a lot of things and hearing about those things. To me, I love hearing about things like that. You know,
it's fascinating. There's a great conversation that happened. Oh, I forget the third person that was there and I shouldn't, but it was between Woz, Dan Kottke, and someone. Mm-hmm. I want to say Atkinson. But I think I'm wrong. But it was right around the time of the Mac 30th anniversary, but it wasn't at that. It was at some other event, I think at the Computer History Museum, right around that time. And I'll find the YouTube link and we can tweet it out. It's probably a good cool stuff found to resurface anyway.
Sure.
But it was just the three of them doing exactly what we talked about, frankly, in the first segment of this show. Three people that were there having this discussion. And it was like, no. Remember, you used to have to hold the solder in your mouth to do it because you didn't have the third hand, but you wouldn't let somebody else do it. And it just was like this conversation that was so fascinating to just like fly on the wall and watch. And frankly, since then, I've talked to both Woz and Kottke about getting them on Mac Geek Gab to do the same conversation. And we simply haven't been able to make the schedule work because Woz's schedule is very, very well protected by the person who keeps his schedule. He would happily do it, but it's been very difficult to find that magic time. So someday we will, and it will be a fun little conversation.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, on that fun note, we have to wrap up. We're out of time. So Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Fun stuff.
Oh, yes. And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, very fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. And thanks, man. You to iMazing for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, iMazing.com/TDO. Get 20% off your copy of iMazing. It's a wonderful tool if you're using an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod Touch. You really need this in your arsenal. So go check it out, iMazing.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.